In February of 2020, a state-run Chinese research institute seeks a patent on the use of remdesivir to treat coronavirus, based on the results of a single patient. In April of 2020, Anthony Fauci cited a study which he said proved remdesivir could block coronavirus. He claimed the study showed that remdesivir was safe and efficacious in the use against the Ebola virus in 2018 and 2019. But this was a lie. If one were to actually look at the study, which was testing four different drugs against Ebola virus, they will find that the safety board pulled remdesivir out of the trial 6 months early because over 50% of patients who received it died. Fauci quoted a second study in support of his mandating the use of remdesivir, a study conducted by the makers of remdesivir, wherein 53 patients with COVID were administered the drug for 10 days. 23% of them suffered from multiple organ dysfunction syndrome, septic shock, and acute kidney injury. 8% of them had to be taken off the drug after only 5 days because it was killing them. After the CCP and Fauci recommended the use of remdesivir, the U.S. secured the world's supply and began treating Americans with it. COVID patients immediately began suffering kidney failure, which was then blamed on COVID, even though studies by the manufacturer show that remdesivir causes it in 23% after only a few days. When the kidneys fail, the lungs fill with liquid, which is how thousands have died in the hospitals.
Good morning. How is everybody? I love the energy here this morning. I'm here to give you some facts to help, you know, unmask the fear. So I'm going to go through a lot of information. How many of you know who I am or have seen me in the media? Anybody? I have to give a great big thank you to Dr. Rainer Fulmick out of Germany. Did y'all see that interview? The German Corona Committee Foundation reached out to me and asked me to provide all of the documentation to them who are suing the World Health Organization with 1,000 doctors. ...10,000 MDs, and they reached out to me privately to give them a 1.5 hour documentation of Anthony Fauci's knowledge of how he was going to kill people before the pandemic started, how he's still doing it right now while you're seated here. And I'm gonna give you some of that information here, and I wanna put up a slide. I just have to thank Dr. Rainer Fulmick. Also, just real quickly, I gotta get this out of the way. If any of you have loved ones who are being treated in ICUs for any of the variants of COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2, you have to write this down, convey it to your loved ones, myfreedoctor.com. It is proven these doctors will help you get early treatment for COVID-19, get you the prescriptions that you need for free. Go there. Early treatment is the proven option, and these doctors are there standing for you. They will write you free prescriptions, telemedicine, offer them donations, do it. They will save your life. This, if you can see the screen, there's a QR code there. This has all, if you scan this QR code, put in your email, the documents I provided to Dr. Rainer Fulmick, my disease prevention cocktail to protect all of your loved ones from those who are jabbed and those who are not jabbed, but exposed to those who have the shots. Those documents will be sent to you automatically through that code. I've got 10 minutes. You guys want some information? Yeah. All right, so what did Anthony Fauci know? All right, let's throw up the first slide. Next slide, please. February 2020, China was seeking a patent on remdesivir from Gilead Sciences, who manufactures remdesivir, the drug. This is in February 2020. I want you to go to the next slide. This is just the article. Look here. A study published in the New England Journal of Medicine last week reported a coronavirus patient in the United States. How many? A coronavirus patient in the United States was found to show an improvement after taking remdesivir, which is also used to treat infectious diseases such as Ebola. This is February 2020. This is the lie. All right, next one. Let's look at the Ebola study. This is what I did in May 2020. I've been in the media ever since to educate you guys the current genocidal attempt and murderous attempts of Anthony Fauci, the NIH, the FDA, the CDC, are all using remdesivir the same way that they used gas chambers to destroy people in Germany. This is how they're doing it and perpetuating those deaths, using a drug in hospitals. This is the actual Ebola study that Anthony Fauci quoted in May 2020, proved, he said, we're gonna use this non-FDA approved drug. It's been approved since, but it wasn't before the pandemic. We're gonna use this non-FDA approved drug called remdesivir because it was shown to be safe and efficacious against the Ebola virus in 2018 and 2019. Has anybody actually looked at this study? Because I clicked the link on NIH.gov's website. All of you should do it. This is the study. Ebola virus inside of Africa. They took four regions, gave them all remdesivir and three other experimental drugs. Anthony Fauci said it was proven to be safe and effective against the Ebola virus. So now in this novel virus of the coronavirus, we're going to use it there also. We're going to mandate this one drug. You can't use any other ones, like hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine, back in May 2020. Go to the next slide, please. So what did the actual study find? They actually found, you can see here, you see mortality up there? Definition inside the study. They found that remdesivir, in 6 months, the safety board pulled remdesivir from the study, a one-year study, because it killed more people than any of the other three drugs, including ZMapp, which was put in by the FDA and the NIH. So 6 months into the study, they pulled remdesivir, they pulled ZMapp, which was supplied by our government to Africa because it killed more people. How many people did it kill? Remdesivir killed 54% of all people in the study that got the drug. Do you know what they're treating all of your loved ones with and those you care about in this country now? Next slide, please. Look up here. I'm not lying. This is from the study. Look at the second column from the right, remdesivir. Look below there. 54%. You see that? Mortality rate. All right, next slide, please. He then quoted a second study in May 2020, Anthony Fauci did, that supported the use of remdesivir in the treatment of coronavirus. The Ebola study, by the way, was a lie. No one clicked the link to look at it. I did. This is the other study he mentioned. This was actually done by Gilead Sciences, who makes remdesivir. In early March 2020, they took 53 patients from Japan, Canada, and America who had COVID-19. And they put them on the drug for 10 days. What's the drug? Remdesivir. This is the maker of remdesivir's own trial study. Next slide, please. What did they find? Check this out. 23% in 10 days had serious adverse events. The most common serious adverse events were multiple organ dysfunction syndrome, which is defined as the number one cause of death in all ICUs, by the way. Second, septic shock, acute kidney failure, and hypotension. Look at the next part. 8% had to be discontinued because remdesivir treatment, it worsened or prevented pre-existing kidney failure and multiple organ failure. 8% had to be taken off by days 5 because they were dying as a result of the poison of remdesivir. That's what they found from this study. As a result of these studies, they decided to actually push this on the masses. All of you, this was going to be the drug choice. Why? Because it would actually make COVID-19 look more deadly than it really was. One other disgusting thing, Anthony Fauci and our federal health agencies bought up all of the reserves and stock of this experimental drug in 2020. We didn't even let another country have it till the end of October 2020. Do you want to know why America had the most deaths during 2020 in this pandemic than any other country? We were the only country treating people with remdesivir proven to cause acute kidney failure, multiple organ failure, septic shock, and hypotension, all of which are lethal. This was the great setup. So they set this up so that they can murder people, then convince you people were dying of COVID-19. They didn't die of COVID-19. They actually died from remdesivir poisoning causing acute kidney failure. If you just listen to the media, the New York press conferences of all the doctors when Corona was going throughout New York early on, they were reporting, we've never seen a virus ever attack the kidneys like this one is. You start treating this virus and it attacks the kidneys and shut it down. Not only are we finding that we have limited supply of ventilators, we don't have enough dialysis machines for their kidneys. These doctors had no idea it was never the virus to begin with. Remdesivir was proven in 30% of all people to cause acute kidney failure. Do you know what happens when you shut down the kidneys in somebody? Your kidneys release water from the body. Guess what happens when you shut them down? Your body retains water. Your abdomen fills with water. Your heart fills with water. Your lungs fill with water. Do you know what they call that? Pulmonary edema. You are drowning these people to death with their own fluids, and they can't breathe. They were calling it secondary pneumonia. You have to listen to me. Still today, they are calling it pneumonia from corona. No, it isn't. They are shutting down everybody's kidneys with remdesivir, causing their lungs to fill with fluid, and they are drowning them to death. Do you want to know why this made me so angry? In May 2020, February 2020, I watched a hospital in Dallas, Texas, kill my father-in-law with the same protocols. They are still doing it today, and they are. I'm telling you right now, anybody who's got a loved one in ICUs, please listen to me. Anybody who's got COVID-19, you're going to be threatened with death if you go into a hospital. They have set this up where they're going to use remdesivir. 31% of people treated for COVID-19 will have acute kidney failure. Their lungs will fill with fluid. Right now, they're adding dexamethasone, which has 4% reported kidney failure for all those who get it. So now you're up to 35%. If anyone listening to this has a loved one in a hospital and they have added to that protocol a drug called vancomycin, which is an antibiotic — antibiotics don't treat viruses, by the way — if they put them on there, upwards of 10% of all of those individuals will experience even worsened acute kidney failure. It will stop their heart, pressure on their heart, make them go into a coma and make them unconscious, and they will die. And they will say it was because of COVID-19. This is not true. Yeah, they're doing it to all of them. All right, so this is the mass genocide that they're using, remdesivir. There's a reason why more people died in America than any other country in 2020. We were the only country using remdesivir, and Anthony Fauci was the one that mandated it. Okay, now what else was disgusting? Let's go to the next one. This was the next thing that made me super angry. In October 2020. All right, so now I have a problem with the NIH, with Anthony Fauci, from May 2020, saying we're going to use a drug proven to be effective against Ebola. Was it proven to be effective against Ebola? No, it didn't even make it to the end of the trial. Why is this guy still alive? Number two. Number two is the FDA. Ready? This report, go back. Yeah, look at the date. CBR Plans, a division inside of the FDA. You'll see the FDA logo at the top. This is dated October 22nd, 2020. They were setting up how they were going to evaluate for injuries from vaccines being reported to the government once they started going out in December. This is in October. 25-slide presentation. Good luck finding this link now. I have it downloadable. I hope you got the QR code because I'll send you the whole document. Next one. This was slide 16. If you haven't seen any of my presentations, FDA safety surveillance of COVID-19 vaccines. Look at the list of what they knew was going to start being reported to the government as a result of injuries from the coming vaccines. Disgustingly enough, this list, when the same organization, the FDA, 2 months later in December, created the fact sheets to go out with the vaccines to the entire American public. For each vaccine, they're supposed to list the health benefits and the risks associated with those vaccines. The FDA created these fact sheets. Do you know not one of these showed up on that list or on that fact sheet? I call this criminal. They knew it, but they didn't tell you. Just so you know, on this list, three on the side, on the right, two on the left, are all related to blood clot disorders. They knew that 2 months before the shots came out. Look at the bottom right. I know I'm almost out of time. Bottom right, you have to be aware of this. This is what we know is coming from the shots. Don't even ignore on the right top. Isn't it odd that death isn't listed first? Pregnancy and birth outcomes, like miscarriages aren't a big deal, or birth defects aren't a big deal. We'll list those on the second column. Bottom right, multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children. Does it say adults? Does it say teenagers? No, it says in children. The Mayo Clinic defines this condition or disease is a serious condition where multiple organs in a child will become severely inflamed and they can die from it, which includes inflammation of the brain, kidneys, spleen, gut, heart, eyes, all at once. Go to cdc.gov, type in MIS-C, which is that abbreviation. It's already been reported over 4,400 children have been reported with this, and over 40 children in America have died already. And they want to start pushing that on your children come September. I have a huge problem with these health agencies lying to you. Throw up the last slide and I'm done. If you didn't get it, go get it. Go to, if you want to, if you can't, QR code it, write it down. If you're listening at home, thedrardisshow.com. My job is to prevent them from being able to kill your loved ones. If you have a loved one in ICU, myfreedoctor.com has lawyers ready to actually contact the hospital and threaten them to put them on other treatments. Do not forget it. You do not have to do what they say. I have to tell you, people ask me all the time, why am I doing this? Why do I continue to do these shows? Because I love all of you. I cannot stand people being mistreated. And they made a huge mistake when the medical complex kicked me out of a hospital when I demanded different protocols, and then they convinced my wife's family to kill her father, which they did in 9 days, and they're doing it to everyone in the country right now. Do not let your loved ones go to the ICU or to a hospital. I have to do this, I'm sorry. My wife's gonna go, honey, why do you do this? I can't help it.
In India, as Joe Nova points out, just 3 weeks after adding ivermectin to the medical treatments, Delhi now leads India out of the deadly second surge of the COVID pandemic. Cases have plummeted nearly 80%, and deaths, which peaked on May the 4th, are also now down by 25%. On May the 10th of this year, the health minister for Goa was so impressed by the results with ivermectin that he offered to give it to the entire adult population. And three other Indian states have also followed Goa's lead in adding and adopting the ivermectin treatment and have also seen dramatic falls in new daily cases, with Uttar Pradesh down nearly 75% after just a few days. Meanwhile, at the other end of the spectrum, the lefty loony end, the state of Tamil Nadu, run by a despotic socialist called, wait for it, M.K. Stalin. Yes, he was named after one of the greatest left-wing mass murderers in world history. M.K. Stalin took power just a few weeks ago in Tamil Nadu and immediately banned the very cheap ivermectin and opted instead for the World Health Organization's extremely expensive drug, remdesivir. And what happened? Already within just a couple of weeks, Tamil Nadu now has, according to the Business Standard, the dubious distinction of being the number one state in India for cases of COVID. Nice work, Stalin. Your namesake would be impressed. I repeat, those states that have adopted ivermectin have seen COVID cases and deaths fall dramatically. The state that banned ivermectin is now the basket case of India.
From the beginning, we have been lied to about COVID patients filling the hospitals. We are now being told that Delta patients are filling the hospitals. We wanted to find out if that is true. I am joined right now by an anonymous nurse whistleblower. She's currently working at a hospital and has been since the beginning of the COVID-19, quote, pandemic. She wishes to remain anonymous. We're going to call her Sarah for now. Sarah, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate your bravery.
Absolutely.
So from the beginning, we have been told hospitals were overrun. They were at their breaking point. There was an influx of patients. They could not be sustained. The hospitals were overrun with COVID patients that were sick and dying. Has that ever been true?
No, that has not been true. It is the overflow we have had mostly has been since the vaccination rollout, where we've had patients, periods of time where we've had overflow into the emergency rooms, but it was not ever COVID, specifically respiratory COVID.
Okay, so at your facility, what has been the protocol for somebody that comes in presenting with this group of symptoms referred to as COVID-19?
They get a PCR test, and if they're negative, they're put on the main floor. And if they're positive, they typically go straight to the isolation COVID ICU, depending on the level of symptoms. So it's all basically based on that one particular test.
And have you worked in this COVID ICU?
Yes.
Okay. Have you heard about the PCR test and the failure surrounding that?
No, and that is the sad thing. In the hospital, everyone takes that test as gospel. So if you get a positive test, no matter what your symptoms, even asymptomatic, you're already on the COVID track, going to the area where isolated, gown, gloves. Your level of care is completely different. Even if you have, it doesn't matter if you have respiratory symptoms or not. That's the thing.
So in other words, somebody who doesn't have COVID-19 could be put into this COVID ICU with COVID infected patients.
Exactly. They get a completely different level of care.
And then what is the protocol for those people?
Well, they're basically, you know, depending on the oxygen saturations for whatever, it could be pneumonia, it could be other respiratory issues. They're put, the COVID ICU is basically a floor where everyone is isolated, gown, gloves, the minimal access to staff, no visitors. It's completely different than.
Are they getting remdesivir? Are they getting put on ventilators? Is that kind of what the standard thing? I mean, this is what we have been told, yes. Is that they're slammed with remdesivir and put on a ventilator.
Basically, yes. The standard care is remdesivir.
And of those patients that go on remdesivir and ventilators, do the majority of them die or do the majority of them survive and recover?
Most of them do not do well. A lot of them do pass away. Remdesivir itself has caused kidney issues, heart issues. Those patients typically do not do well.
Wow. So the things that have been reported on this program are that remdesivir was a dangerous drug. Anthony Fauci knew that. The CDC, the NIH, those that are dictating protocol to hospitals are very aware that remdesivir causes kidney issues, sends fluid to the lungs, the ventilator then explodes the lungs. People are drowning, essentially. And you have seen this firsthand.
Yes, absolutely. This has been the standard medication since the beginning. Over the summer, there was a period. Originally, it was all remdesivir. There was a period over the summer, actually, when our COVID numbers were low and almost gone, where remdesivir was combined with ivermectin. Now that is phasing out and it's going back to completely just remdesivir by itself. So there was a period where it was a combination of the two with some patients.
So the ivermectin-treated patients, did they seem to do better than those not treated with ivermectin?
Yes. In my experience with the patients that I have seen, yes. Remdesivir alone, they don't tend to do well. They tend to have cardiac issues during their hospital stay that they didn't have before, or ones that they had before are exacerbated by the remdesivir. A lot of kidney issues. Many patients go on dialysis that were not on dialysis before. The symptoms that go, the other issues that go along with this are not good.
So are doctors or providers allowed to prescribe remdesivir or administer, or excuse me, ivermectin? Are doctors allowed to administer ivermectin to patients any longer?
I don't know of any restrictions or not restrictions. There was a brief period of time where I started seeing it with remdesivir, and now that's phasing out. I'm not seeing it very often at all. So I don't know what the doctors are told, whether or not they can, but it was just a brief time where I saw it combined.
So doctors swear what we know as a Hippocratic oath, where when they enter the patient's home, they serve only the patient. So if prior to this entire pandemic, if somebody were to come into your hospital, broken leg, heart attack, stroke, kidney failure, liver disease, pancreas issues, whatever it is, the doctor would have treated them, found any way that they could possibly heal this person and make them better. When the coronavirus, COVID-19, first came here, we were under the presumption that care providers were looking for ways to treat these patients. Since the inception of this vaccine, these shots, it now seems that doctors not only are not performing or living up to their Hippocratic oath, but they're actually contradicting it blatantly right out in the wide open and actually acting in a way that hurts or kills patients.
Yes, I no longer trust doctors' care. I'm there for the patient, and I'm literally having to point out to some of these patients that these vaccines are what the reason why they're in there. Some of these patients have come in after only one dose, and they're being talked into getting the second one when they leave the hospital. And, I mean, it's insane. I have to tell these patients, do not get the second dose.
Well, I'm thankful that you're doing that. And I know that the families of these people that are very vulnerable, I mean, they're in the hospital begging for help, being isolated away from their families, no contact, no advocates, being denied the right to try, being denied the treatment that they're requesting, and basically given a death sentence. This looks like murder for money to me. I really appreciate your bravery, and I know the reasons why you can't come forward, and I respect that. When this thing is all over, people like you will be on the right side of history. Sarah, and I know that's not your real name, but thank you very much for coming forward and for telling the truth. We appreciate it.
Thank you for everything you do.
Amber Lemons is a registered nurse practicing in Oklahoma with nearly 10 years of experience. She currently works in a step-down unit from ICU, but she's also worked in intensive care and hospice care. So in short, she's seen everything, or at least everything relevant to COVID-19. And like so many other nurses who have appeared on this show, Amber has seen enough behavior around COVID-19 to be alarmingly suspicious. She says they're manipulating stats on COVID infections. She says they're distorting the data on how many COVID hospitalizations there are and how long they last. She has seen the nursing shortage firsthand and the lies they tell to explain why it's happening. And she's angry enough that despite all the risks from speaking out, she's asked to come on this program, and she joins us now. Amber, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
So you emailed the program, you said, they're manipulating statistics on COVID infections. Who is they, and how are they manipulating these numbers?
I think it's the people who released the narrative to begin with. We're in an era of censorship right now. Google, your mainstream medias, they're all censored. They all follow the same narrative. So if you go to Google and type something into a search bar, it's going to be the same information you're going to get from, let's say, CNN or any other news outlet that you turn on to watch TV
or Fox News or any of them. And so what you're saying in short is that what the media is telling us, what Google is telling us, what the internet is telling us, what social media is allowing to be told, these are lies. This is not what's happening in the hospital.
They're scaring us. They're trying to scare people into getting a vaccine or lock us down again.
Got it. So as far as treating COVID infections at your hospital and what you have seen personally, what treatments are being used if somebody comes in and presents with mild COVID symptoms? If they walk into urgent care, come into the emergency room and they say, hey, I think I have COVID. They get tested with the unreliable, proven, debunked PCR test. They get a positive test. Are they sent home? Are they provided with things like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin D?
No. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
No on hydroxychloroquine and no on ivermectin. There are some local doctors, I will say, that are prescribing ivermectin to their patients in an outside facility, but we're seeing backlash about that from ER physicians. As far as coming to the emergency room and seeking care, now, if you are not debilitated enough that you don't need a significant amount of oxygen, you can be sent home on usually steroids and an antibiotic of some sort. Now, if you come to the hospital and you stay, you get remdesivir, you get the works, all of the experimental medications that go along with the remdesivir, just the works.
So we have learned of recent that remdesivir is an unapproved experimental drug, that it is causing kidney failure. Have you seen these things happen?
Oh yeah, bad. It will cause bad renal failure. And it's usually irreversible.
Okay, and then are these patients placed on a ventilator?
Yes, yes. Because your kidneys help compensate for your lungs, especially when you're sick. And since COVID affects your lungs so harshly, you really need your kidneys to help you get better. So when your kidneys start to fail, they can't compensate for the excess demand that the lungs are needing to get your body better. So you deteriorate pretty rapidly after that.
And is this happening to vaccinated, fully vaccinated people?
Yes.
Got it. So overall, what the experts on this program have been saying rings true in your facility, which is that firsthand you have seen many infected COVID patients that are fully vaccinated, that they don't do any better as a result of taking the shot or being inoculated, that remdesivir is causing major problems, and that treatment is being withheld. Other treatments, FDA approved treatments, Nobel Prize award winning treatments like ivermectin.
Well, they don't want to give you ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. They're very inexpensive drugs. They're very old, inexpensive drugs. They're not going to make anybody any money if they give us what actually works. Or they won't make money off all of these hospitalizations.
Chelsea Walls is a nurse. She's a BSN critical care registered nurse with ICU specialty certification. Chelsea is a cardiovascular ICU nurse who's been taking care of patients since 2015 and has selflessly and heroically taken care of COVID patients since the beginning of this nonsense, despite being, by the way, 9 months pregnant while doing it. Why? Because that's what heroes do when humanity needs them most. Chelsea Walls is a brave warrior that represents an entire army of our nation's heroes, and she joins us now. I know that you're nervous about coming forward. I just want you to know that personally, I'm extremely proud of your bravery. And you originally wrote to the show somewhat anonymously, and you said that the information the public is being fed by the media is false. Hospitals are not filled up. They're at safe operating capacity due to being short-staffed. Tell me about that.
Correct, Stu. Yeah, so we are at no more capacity than we have ever been. In fact, this is probably our normal at this point in time. We're at max capacity because we're short-staffed. You know, we lost a lot of people when COVID first started. And now all these mandates are rolling out, and we are only, our hospital itself, we are less than 60% successful with these mandates. You know, 40% of our nursing staff, healthcare staff, we don't want the shot. They are offering $500 incentives to all the employees who are willing to take it. But so many of us are not willing to. There are nurses going into these clinics just crying because, you know, their lives are at stake. They have to provide for their families. And here we are having to choose.
So what does your hospital say about early treatment, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin?
So when it comes to medication, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are very taboo and criticized. Hydroxychloroquine, I did some research the other day at my job, and I had found some studies per our hospital's policy regarding hydroxychloroquine and the efficacy of it in treating COVID patients, and I have never once seen it used on our COVID patients. The only things we are using is the standard remdesivir, which everybody has heard does horrid things to the body.
Is that true? Have you seen the effects of the remdesivir? Is that true? What we're saying on this program about the kidney shutdown, the flooding of the lungs with fluid, is that happening?
It is.
Is what I said to those healthcare workers in Minnesota. I know you're fighting for your jobs, but frankly, while you're trying to keep your jobs, you're being forced to murder people in hospitals. I truly believe that. I think hundreds of thousands, the larger part of the nearly 700,000 that they're saying have died from COVID, they died from medical malpractice. It's time to try these people for crimes against humanity.
We have another declaration that has just been signed and put out to the public for others to sign. This is the Rome Declaration, and here's Dr. Robert Malone.
Well, I share with you a physician's declaration developed by physicians in Puerto Rico that met together last week. Thousands of physicians are being denied the right to provide treatment to their patients as a result of barriers put up by pharmacies, hospitals, and public health agencies, rendering the vast majority of healthcare providers helpless to protect their patients in the face of disease. Physicians are now advising their patients to simply go home, allowing the virus to incubate and the disease to develop, and to return when their disease worsens, resulting in hundreds of thousands of unnecessary patient deaths due to failure to treat. Whereas, the above is not medicine, it is not care. We cannot sit idle while patients are forced to go home and sicken in place. These policies may actually constitute crimes against humanity.
Such powerful words, and really is what I said to those healthcare workers in Minnesota. I know you're fighting for your jobs, but frankly, why are you trying to keep your jobs? You're being forced to murder people in hospitals. I truly believe that. I think hundreds of thousands, the larger part of the nearly 700,000 that they're saying have died from COVID, they died from medical malpractice. You know, talk to me about the ones that got ivermectin and still died, that got hydroxychloroquine early, the moment you diagnosed it. Show me those people. Show me those stories. They got hydroxychloroquine and zinc, azithromycin, ivermectin, budesonide. These things are working all around the world. The nations that are using them are doing better than the United States of America. We're trailing Uttar Pradesh, which we talked about last week, a country in India that doesn't even have as good a water system and sewage system as we do. So we're murdering people, and it's great to see doctors and scientists from around the world basically making that statement. And it appears, right, you know, really pressuring to bring these policymakers for the world into courtrooms, I think, and what they said there, crimes against humanity. It's time to try these people for crimes against humanity.
With my own experience, we were confronted with REM death severe, and I said, no way, are you kidding me? No. And all I got was shocked looks, you know. Shocked looks on the faces. Why would you not want this wonder drug? Well, let me just tell you, Fauci, when he put this through, I don't know if you guys remember, but April of 2020, there was an article where they were approving this, right? For the big mystery that they had planned. And what happened was this actual drug was used in the Ebola testing, okay? They did a study. The problem was they had 56% mortality, 56% mortality. Yeah, that's bad. It didn't even make it through the study, folks. They had to pull it. So then what happened was they put out an article and Fauci said, oh, this is fabulous. In fact, this is what he said. Let me read it to you. This will be the standard of care, Fauci said. When you know a drug works, you have to let people in the placebo group know how they can take it. Oh, yes, please, let's rush it over to them, too. And he also said what it has proven is a drug that can block the virus. It actually can't. There's no properties in it, from what I'm told. And then also, check this out. Gilead Sciences, who put this out, announced earlier in the day that the study had met its primary endpoint, but then didn't provide any other details. Wait, what? Yeah, didn't provide any other details. In fact, you couldn't find an article with any details about it. So then they said, well, they worked on it for SARS. I mean, they studied it for SARS, but they didn't say they studied it for Ebola. Why? They didn't want really anybody checking that out. So more than half the people die, right, on REM death severe, and now we have a problem. But here's the deal. The hospitals, right, the hospitals get this, and they're told that, hey, this experimental drug, this investigational drug, you just go, now you need to go use this. They're not told that it can physically shut down the liver, the kidneys, it's causing death, none of those things. And so they went forward with this, and the hospitals can't make the connection between using this experimental, horrifying drug that couldn't even pass the studies they put it in. And Fauci picks this drug. He says, this is the one I want. Well, of course it was. Do you even know that they said that the group that they used it on, right? Well, half of them left the hospital in 14 days. They never said what the other half did. So I'm getting letters all over the country, you guys, from people all over, and all the stories the same. They went up, they got into the ICU, they were told REM death severe, they were given the steroid dex that Dr. Brian Artis, what a hero. His own father-in-law died. And this is, he's also coming forward with that news too, that his own father-in-law died of this. And I have a friend that was actually given double doses of remdesivir and passed away right afterwards. They're using this drug. They're not making the connection that, hey, people in our ICUs are having kidney problems. They're drowning in their own fluids. We have all these issues. They're even calling pneumonia when they should be calling it the fluid in the lungs, just pulmonary edema, from what Dr. Brian Artis was saying. So what they're doing basically is they're taking this investigational drug, hasn't been out of the gate. Fauci, little Hitler man, said, this is the drug we like. All the hospitals are not allowed to question it. They're not allowed to tell you that ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine work. And of course, right now, they're going to call ivermectin the horse fringy, what are they calling it? The horsey fringy medication. You guys, it won the Nobel Prize in 2015 for being amazing in the human form. Wow. So he is letting people know that, you know what, you have got to fight for your loved ones. And if you go into a hospital, remdesivir is not the drug you want to put your loved one on. People are falling fast, let's say. I'm getting letters from all over the country. And it's really getting to me, actually, because it's getting sad that I'm getting all of these death stories. And then, of course, there are people going in and saying, no, I want the vitamin C if they're allowed to do it, right? And so I'm telling you, we have a huge problem here. They are willing to kill people using a drug they know is horrifying. They know it's bad, but they're willing to do it to cause fear so that you think you've got to go get the shot. A shot that you don't need. You can get over this 99.9% of the time, anything respiratory. They still don't even have a sample of it. And it's all about fear.
Veins with drugs that cause their kidneys to fail. They pump them full of saline water all day long through their veins. Their kidneys can't excrete it, and they are drowning them to death, calling it COVID pneumonia death. It never has been, it never was, and it is still what is causing the most deaths in the world from COVID-19 treatments. They did not die from COVID-19. They died from poisoning of remdesivir. So, your question is, we've got vaccines, we've got Delta variants. The very first thing you need to know, stay outside of the hospitals. Please stop going.
Interesting.
No
business
has to
work two days ago.
No visitors for the hospital?
Really? She can't see her husband. Her husband's up there doped up, and they're not going to let her see him.
What a
coinky
day.
Yeah, what a
coinky
day.
So in this case,
they have her call? The house supervisor to get a hold of the administration? Okay. Yeah. All right, and is Dr. Goldman here? Okay, so I need him paged. All right, thank you.
So basically your husband's being held hostage here.
Yeah.
Okay, they won't let you see him. He's hooked up to a ventilator. He's doped up on fentanyl, on propofol, and they won't even let you see him.
So you have to...
How do you go about getting out of here? How do you go about getting a person out of here if you don't want them to be here? How do you go about that?
I don't have this information.
Well, who do we need to talk to?
We need to talk to somebody.
Who...
So you have to call.
She's very concerned about her husband right now.
So they told me that you have to call House of Administration.
Wait, folks. I cannot call. The only thing I can do for you is transfer you to the floor. That's it.
Okay, where's the patient advocate or the gentleman that I spoke with the other day?
I'm sorry, it's not here today.
Jefferson, who's in charge of this hospital right now?
It's not here today, Mr. Jefferson.
Pardon?
It's not here today, Mr. Jefferson.
Okay, then who's another person that works with Mr. Jefferson?
We don't have another person.
That's really scary.
That's terrifying.
If a crisis were to happen right now, there's nobody here to...
Okay, so how do I get a hold of the House Administration right now? There's got to be someone you got to call.
Sure.
Don't act like you don't know what the heck you're doing.
I tried to help you. I know
you
have.
Position. I don't have more information. I'm sorry. Don't make
somebody.
Me call to security.
Supervisor.
Do you want me to call to security?
Or we're doing what? Asking you
because
what they
I
just told
to
me.
Explain to you. I don't have another information.
He just told me. The nurse just told me that secretary has to call. I mean, that's what he just repeated.
I am not a secretary. Call back again to them. They can transfer you.
Okay. What's the number? That's what he just shared with me, Jamal. The nurse up there said to have the secretary.
They can transfer you. Ask for transfer.
This is crazy. Don't ever call 911.
Call 911. I'm down here in the lobby. And I would like to talk to Dr. Goldman and to see my husband. And Jamal had just shared with me that the secretary had to call someone to get approval.
I'm just curious, how do you go about getting somebody out of the hospital if they're getting treatment you don't want them to have? Like, how do you go about getting them out if they're being sedated on a bunch of painkillers? How do you get...
Oh, you know what? It's,
you don't know.
The Director of Social Services, I think her name is Jackie Perez.
Ask them to transfer you. Whatever you want, ask them to transfer you.
Okay.
I'm not going to call anyone. Yeah, they have to transfer you.
But they got you scared for your job, don't they?
No, just ask them to transfer you.
They're doing it to you. They're doing it to every employee. You need to follow the regime or you can quit. That's how it works. I'm a nurse, I know. Because we've all gotten fired. We lost our retirement and our unemployment. Because we didn't comply with the regime. We're in a war.
We just don't want her husband to die. That's all. We see what's going on in hospitals. And we don't want him dead. We want him out alive. We want him out the same way he came in. It's like a hostage situation. Dee here's husband, Derek.
Hi.
He's been hooked up to a ventilator. They're pumping him full of painkillers and midazolam and all sorts of things. He's incapacitated in this hospital. Oh, yeah, you don't want people recording what's going on in here, do you? No.
No.
I'm just wondering why. See, they don't want... No.
Okay, could you please...
See, we should call it... You got people you're keeping in here, and you know what? It's wrong.
Okay.
It's wrong. No wonder you don't want me recording, because you don't want anybody knowing what's going on in here.
He took my information earlier, and I just want to make sure that my husband's, being treated properly and getting off his, heavily narcotics. Because, after reading the medical records, my husband, declined remdesivir, and they still administered it to him.
Oh, and my cousin who passed away? His dad was in the same hospital as him. He passed away 3 days after his son. My cousin's dad died. He was in the same hospital. Oh, and my cousin's uncle? He was declared brain dead. Same hospital. Yeah. So he's going to be dead any day. Who else? Who else do we have? I don't even, can't even... 5 deaths in 6 weeks. Do you think that's a little odd? Because people have reached out to me and they said the same thing's happening. Phones are taken away. There's no witnesses. There are no witnesses. You've got a person in the hospital that wants to get out. And they take away your phone. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know if they're giving them care, but I do know this. They get kickbacks for every death. I thought it was $2,000. I'm hearing it's $48,000. My parents were in the hospital. My mom tried to leave. They refused. She bitched. She bitched a lot. She's very stubborn, just like me. And they wouldn't release her. She even offered to sign a waiver saying, I will not hold you responsible if anything happens after I leave these doors. You would think that would be fine, right? No. They said, we can't do that. We cannot release you. Okay. So I was going to drive to that hospital and get her out of there no matter what. But there was one nurse that got her out of there. And because of that nurse, she's alive today.
Many of you know me, and you know my story. You know all the different subjects we've covered over the years. And a good number of you right now know why I'm covering this story as I am. This battle between good and evil has become very personal to me this week. And I also know that it's taking a similar seat in a lot of your families as well, in an increasing number. And it looks like it's only going to get worse before it gets better. What you just saw, if it hasn't sent chills down your spine and caused you to realize we need some real help here, and you haven't yet quite grasped the fact that politics is not the answer. Man's law documents are not the answer. The Bible is. There's still a lot of you out there that still think that if we get the right person in office, the right document, we can do well. What you don't realize is what I've studied for many, many years and have discovered that every law document that was put in place opposite the Bible was put in place intentionally to get us away from that Bible. Because without the Bible, we don't have enforcement power. From 1620 to 1788, we went by the Bible in this country as a literal law book in a good number of the colonies, and we were being blessed for it. We left Europe where we were not allowed to read our Bibles in our own language. And we came over here because the Gutenberg Press and the sextant for navigation made it a lot easier to get over here in mass. And both the Roman and Anglican churches couldn't burn us at the stake anymore for wanting to read our Bibles in our own language because, quite simply, you can't burn people at the stake if you can't catch them. So we came over here and we began a nation where everybody wanted to flock here because we were going by the Bible that taught us how to love one another, not just inside church doors, but in a civil sense as well. The Bible was really our law book, and thereby the lawgiver protected us. I've run into a lot of people lately who still think that Donald Trump is going to save us. With everyone that I personally talk to, I straighten this out for them, but there's still a lot of you that don't know this yet. But Donald Trump was bailed out by the Rothschilds when he was in trouble in Vegas many years ago, and he's owned by them now. And if that's not enough, take a look at this. Remdesivir data leaves Gilead stock well-positioned to rally. That means the Gilead company is going to be doing real good. Their stock. These are the people that make Remdesivir. Trump's endorsement sends Regeneron and Eli Lilly stocks rising. And why would he endorse these companies? Well, he didn't endorse the companies. Here he endorsed something that they make, something called Remdesivir. He has stakes in these companies, along with a few other well-known people we know. He's not on our side, folks. No politician is on our side. Look at this. These are in his tax filings, folks. Regeneron. He had his hands in this whole thing, my friends. I'll leave the rest for you to read on your own to see what we've discovered.
I'll tell you what, we have, the vaccines are coming soon, the therapeutics, and frankly, the cure. All I know is I took something, whatever the hell it was, I felt good very quickly. I said, I felt like Superman, and I said, let me at him. Don't let it be, but we have great vaccines coming. Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Pfizer. I mean, we have great, great things happening with the vaccines. I think even greater with the cures and with the therapeutics. And maybe it's why I'm here with you. Maybe it's not. I'm not sure. I know one thing. I was very happy to take it, that I can tell you. But through Operation Warp Speed, we're on track to have 100 million vaccine doses before the end of this year, and they'll be delivered by the military, and they're all set to go. They're waiting for final approval. And that vaccine will end the pandemic, but we're also launching a historic effort to bring your medical supply chains back home. In 1996, Joe Biden voted to obliterate Puerto Rico's thriving pharmaceutical industry. Remember, they used to have a great pharmaceutical industry. He cut it out. And when he cut it out, he sent Puerto Rico into a nosedive like nobody's ever seen before. So we're bringing it all back, and we're bringing it back to Florida, too. We're bringing it all the way back. Taking our jobs away from China. We're bringing it back from China. I'll reverse Biden's catastrophic decision. We'll bring it all back. The drug industry is coming back into Puerto Rico, coming back into, by the way, Pennsylvania, coming back into North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, coming back into Michigan, coming back into Ohio.
And we can go on. And I could show you lots more of this, but I'm hoping you've seen enough. But just to make sure that you remember how he endorsed it live before the cameras, I'll play that part too.
For you, Mr. President, do you want the FDA to issue an emergency use authorization for remdesivir?
Well, it's a big thing. What happened just recently, where they came up with something that has a very substantial percentage. You know, it's a building block. Tony said it today. I thought it was very well expressed. He said that's a building block. That means it's a very substantial chunk of a step. And that's a building block to the ultimate step. That's a big building block when you hear, I guess, 31%. So it was very good. Yeah, I want them to go as quickly as they can. Stephen Hahn, Dr. Hahn, has been incredible at the FDA. He's getting things done at record time. There's never been anything like it. And yeah, we want everything to be safe, but we would like to see very quick approvals, especially with things that work.
There's only one answer, folks. That's the Bible. We need to repent, reform our lives, and start living like the Puritans did, teaching one another how not to hurt one another and how to love one another according to that law book, not according to man's laws that essentially are working their way toward do what thou wilt is the whole of the law, because that's about what we just about have here now, almost pure Satanism in this country and world. And these people are very good liars. They follow the father of lies, Satan. Why wouldn't they be good liars? They've been taught by the best. I don't know about the rest of you, but I've had enough of all this world, and I want to change it for everyone that I love. Whether those family members will ever wake up or not, I want to make sure that no matter what happens in the end, my conscience is clean. I'm going to leave you with a couple clips here now that'll drive the last couple nails home as to why you're going to see me pushing things even a little harder than I was before. I'm praying for you all that your families will be safe, strong in the faith, and thereby well protected from the things that are yet to come. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, for the glory of Yahweh, the living God of the Bible, blessings to you all.
They made a mistake. when they killed my father-in-law.
HCQ, ivermectin depends on the doctor, right? So I talk to more doctors, and they're all smarter than me, so I can't get into the argument about which is better. Don't know. I just know they both work better than remdesivir, and I know when people are taking them, they aren't dying. Yes, they, you know what? God bless you, sir. I'll pray for your family, and I hope everybody else here does too. So, someone just said that they killed his dad. And I'm guessing they probably killed a lot of your family members. Because if you've been in the hospital recently, you know what? Let's do this. If you've had a family member or a friend that's been killed in the hospital, they wouldn't give them the treatment. Can you stand up right now? How is that, ladies and gentlemen? How is that? I have doctor after doctor after doctor. You guys can sit back down. Telling me, we got multiple doctors using the McCullough protocol, using the Zelenko protocol, using the Math Plus protocol, haven't lost a patient, treated thousands of them. We got some of them that have been speaking here. Any of you guys, were they treating them with the McCullough protocol? I'll bet you, because I know, because I get email and call after call from people begging me to help them as they're murdering their loved ones. I'll bet you that if you did ask them for that, they threw you out of the hospital and wouldn't even let you see your loved one. You know how I know that? Because they do it everywhere in the country. Tell me that's not coordinated. Tell me that's not coordinated. These people have declared war on the American people for money and power.